Ephesians chapter 6. Let's hear the word of God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you might live long in the land. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the grace of your word to us, that not only have you made provision for us in our salvation in Jesus Christ and faith in him, but you have laid down for us in your word the help and hope of the gospel as it applies to our lives individually and our life together as a church. And I pray this morning that you would bring that word to bear on each one of us by your Spirit, that we might walk in joyful obedience to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. Pray this in his name. Amen. Well, a few years ago, I think it was about 3 years ago, we had one of those moments that is unanticipated, and you only realize it as it's happening, and it's too late to do anything about it. So I got up here on a Sunday morning, and as I prepared to do the message, I had an announcement that I was asked to give, and so I dismissed all of the children up until grade 6, and then we proceeded to turn our attention to Ephesians chapter 6, 1-4, which begins, "Children, obey your parents." And so though the message was aimed, in that case, primarily at fathers in particular, the first three verses of the passage and the first points of the passage were directly applied to the children that had just left us. And so this morning, thankfully, those children are with us. And this week, as I was preparing for this message, and I was reading and in commentaries and looking at some different expositions, one of the things that I noticed was that often these four verses, we're going to be looking at the first three, but these four verses were preached as though Paul had designed four verses for parents to hear, the first three of which are just sort of an introduction in order to help parents understand what's required of their children. And so they did an exposition which again and again spoke of children in the third person. Children should obey their parents. Children are called to do this and that without actually addressing children. But notice in verses 1-3 that children are addressed directly. This is a second person command here. Children, obey your parents. Not children somewhere should obey their parents as if we're talking to someone else, but children, obey your parents. This text addresses you as children. Two observations we want to make just in introduction. The first of which is that Paul assumes that you children will be here in the gathered assembly hearing the reading of these words. Paul assumes that children who can understand these words, they heard, children, that's talking about me, obey your parents, okay, I understand what's going on. Children who are able to hear and understand these letters are to be a part of the gathered worship of the people of God. And so, we make a point at Cornerstone intentionally to not have some kind of a children's church or something where we take those children who would normally hear these words, that's talking to me, and then except they're gone somewhere else. The normal pattern is for us to have those children who are able to hear and understand words like this to be gathered with us during the service. But secondly, I want to encourage you as children in another way, as you hear sermons week in and week out, to be listening in a specific way. Here's another encouragement. The fact that Paul assumes that you will be here in hearing these things also makes it okay that perhaps there were some of the things in Ephesians chapter 1 and 2 and 3 that maybe were a little bit more difficult to understand, and you didn't catch everything that we were talking about on those Sundays, and that's okay. In fact, that's the design of the preaching of God's Word. Consider this. Consider someone who was heard the gospel on a Wednesday, and then Sunday morning he's gathered together with believers in Rome. And someone stands up to read this letter called Paul's Letter to the Romans. I don't know if you've read that letter if you're younger. But do you think that that man or woman who just came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then he's sitting in church on Sunday and he hears them read out loud Paul's letter to the Romans, would understand everything that was in there? Absolutely not. Consider the letter to the Hebrews as well, which is a sermon in written form to be read out to congregations. New believers wouldn't get everything in that letter. We can study that letter for years and not hear and receive everything in there. With our kids, we read something called the Big Picture Story Bible. We have little kids. And the Big Picture Story Bible beautifully and faithfully captures in two or three sentences per page the overarching story of God in this world of sin and salvation in Jesus Christ. Rightly and truly and helpfully. But praise the Lord, that's not all God gave us. Praise the Lord that when Paul was writing to the Romans, or when the author to the Hebrews was writing to the Hebrews, they didn't just write according to what the newest believer or the youngest child would understand. So I want to encourage you this morning, as you hear sermons, you kids, whether you're 8 or 18, and even if you're here and you're 48, try to listen in such a way that you get all that you can out of each Sunday, knowing that if you continue to do that over your lifespan, in 5 years, you're going to be understanding and getting more than you did today. And in 50 years, you will be understanding and getting more than you did when you were 25. So be encouraged. Paul expects you to be here, but also not expects you to understand the fullness of everything that is happening. But because these verses address children directly, that's who we are going to be speaking to this morning. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, it says there in verse 1. Verse 2, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. If you are living in the home of your parents, under their care and dependence upon them, then you are the people primarily that this passage speaks to this morning, whether you're 6 years old or 16 years old. So listen carefully this morning. And this morning, if you can remember two words, if you can remember these two words, you will be able to remember the majority of what we are talking about here. These two words are quite simple: honor and obey. Honor and obey. Maybe if you have your Bible this morning, verse 1 and 2 of chapter 6, maybe underline those words. In verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents. And in verse 2, it says, honor your father and your mother. So remember those two words this morning: honor and obey. What do those words mean? Well, if you look carefully at the original languages, you'll find out that they mean obey and honor. Let's give just little definitions to help us this morning. What does it mean to honor your parents? We're going to look at applications and illustrations yet, but just a simple definition. How might we define honoring your parents? In your speech, attitude, and actions, showing the respect that God has said you ought to show to them. That's what it means to honor your parents. In your speech, attitudes, and actions, showing the respect that God has said you ought to show to them. And obey, that's a harder one. Do what they say. Okay, you got that? 6-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 14-year-olds, 18-year-olds, obey. Do what they say. That means if they tell you to do something, obedience means doing that thing. If they tell you to not do something, obedience means you do not do that thing, okay? Everyone's got that? Everyone's with me so far? Obey and honor. We have some definitions. But we're going to hit the first hurdle very quickly. The first hurdle comes right away. It says, children, obey your parents. Obey your parents. How many conversations across the world in homes in Spanish and English and Japanese and Korean and Melanesian Pidgin and whatever other language you can imagine has this conversation happened in the living room after some particular instruction has been given to kids? And then what do they say? But Jimmy's dad says... Or Molly's mom lets her, or so-and-so, they don't have to do. This has been played out again and again across ages of human history. That's why we need these words here in this passage. Children, obey your parents. He didn't ask you to obey Jimmy's dad or Molly's mom. He said, obey your parents. When I was growing up, I was in high school, and I lived for 3 months with a friend of mine and his family in their home for 3 months. And during that time, they referred to me as the good son. The good son. Eric's the good son. Now, if you had talked to my siblings or my parents, they might have wondered what kind of a joke this is. And yet there was a truthfulness to this ongoing joke in that home that they talked about me as the good son. Because, you know, there's an eagerness of helpfulness and obedience and a desire not to rock the boat when you're in a different home, a different context. Somehow I was happy to offer to help with the dishes, and I was very slow to speak back to any kind of instructions in my friend's house, when at home the situation was quite different. The comfort and intimacy in a family is a good and positive thing, but unfortunately sometimes that comfort and intimacy for you kids makes you feel as though you're free to voice your objections and speak in particular ways that are not appropriate in the context of your home. Obey your parents. You need to obey your parents. Not someone else's. Your parents. God is infinitely wise. And in his infinite wisdom, he gave you the particular parents that he gave to you. He put you in the particular home that you find yourself in right now. And the calling of this passage to you is in that context to obey those parents. But notice the phrase right after that. We said you need to honor and obey. You need to remember those two words, honor and obey. But then it says, obey your parents in the Lord. It doesn't take very long before we realize that the call to obedience first brings to the surface a problem, doesn't it? For every child in the world, and that means every single one of us who was at one point a child, as soon as we hear the words obey and honor, if we have any kind of self-awareness whatsoever, we realize that we have failed to do that in some way, at some time, and in some form, and for some of us, a whole lot of failure to do that. We see a problem very quickly, and that problem has its roots a long time ago. You remember how the Bible starts, kids? Starts with the garden. And it starts with God putting a man and a woman in the garden and telling them no. Just one no. A lot of yes, a lot of yeses, and one no. And what happens? They disobey the word of God. We find in Adam a disobedient son. And when God calls his people Israel and gives them again these commands, the commands that are repeated here to honor your father and mother, we find out that many within Israel were disobedient. And we find out the seriousness with which God takes obedience at some of the instructions that startle us. You maybe are aware of this, but in God's old covenant people, Israel, for the rebellious son or daughter, the instructions were very serious. That son or daughter who refused to obey, who lived in rebellion, dishonoring their mother and father, they were commanded to take outside of the camp and put to death. The consequences for disobeying parents, because it shows disobedience to God, are extremely serious. And so in Adam we had a disobedient son, and in Israel we had disobedient sons. And so when would the obedient son come? And in this letter we've seen that the obedient son came in Jesus Christ when he came and became a man. We read in Luke 2:51 that he was submissive to his parents. Jesus came to be the obedient son. You see, this passage, when you hear those words, obey and honor, and you hear right away, realize that you have disobeyed and dishonors. And when we look at the full Bible's teaching, that disobedience earns for you death, then the question is, where is hope for you? And hope is in the obedient son, Jesus Christ, who obeyed in the place of his people and then went to that cross and took the death that you've earned for yourself through your disobedience, such that if you put your hope and faith in him, his obedience is counted to you. And your sin is placed upon him, and forgiveness is available to you. You see, that little phrase, in the Lord, reminds us where we are in Ephesians. It reminds us that Paul's not just sort of giving instructions out there for life in the world, but he's talking to those children who are in the congregation and have come to know the saving power of Jesus Christ. To be in the Lord is to have been born again to a living hope, been made alive by his Spirit, trusting in him, having faith in him. So this passage is speaking to believing children. Do you remember, kids, do you remember in the book of John? Maybe you don't, but I'll tell you again. In the book of John, John exposes something. He's talking about people who profess to love God. And he says, professing to love God is all fine and good, but if you don't love your brother, who you can see, your fellow Christian right in the church, if you can't love them, how can we believe that you love your Father in heaven or your who you don't see? Similar thing can be applied right here in this passage. For those of you kids who trust in Jesus, who profess Jesus as Lord risen from the dead. This is the question for you. It doesn't mean a whole lot to profess to honor and obey your Father in heaven, who you can't see, if you do not attempt to obey your mother and father on earth, who you can see. So listen, you cannot profess love and faith in Jesus and worship of God with consistency if you are not deeply serious about pursuing obedience to your parents in the power of the Spirit for Jesus' sake. You can't profess love and faith in Jesus and worship of God consistently if you are not deeply serious about pursuing obedience to your earthly parents in the power of the Spirit for Jesus' sake. As a son or daughter of God Almighty, chosen by His love, redeemed by His Son, brought into His family through Spirit-produced faith, this, honor and obey, this is how you are to live your, in your earthly family. This is the central area for you kids. This is the central area where the Spirit's fruit is to be seen in your life as someone who professes to trust and follow Jesus. This is where your worship of God meets real life. Your worship of God is not found in an exciting Bible study or a youth event or a neat youth retreat or any kind of thing like that, though your worship of God might be fueled by all of those things, but we see it when you get home in the ways that you relate to mom and dad. The ways you relate to mom and dad. So then let's think together, kids, about things that are necessary to live out this kind of obedience. Now, it should go without saying, but we've all been children and we've all been around children. And so we know that it must be said that if you're going to obey your parents, you need to hear and be attentive to what they have to say. If you're going to be obeying mom and dad, you need to listen to them. And so I wonder when you're in your room and in comes mom and she begins to speak, what is your physical posture? Do you remain glued to the television if it's on? Do you keep talking to your friend who you're visiting to? Does your attention remain unmovably focused on a screen or a book that you have in your hand? What does attention look like? When that mother or father whom God has placed in your life for you to honor and obey comes into a room, practically speaking, if you're going to be deeply serious in having real worship of God manifested in your life, shown up so everyone can see, how do you respond when a mom or dad comes into the room and begins to talk? If you want to cultivate that kind of obedience, think about that very carefully and try to respond with your very posture in a way that shows that you want to hear what mom or dad says, and then you want to do what it is that they're asking you to do. Let's say this. Obedience and honor. Those two words, we come back to them again and again. Honor and obey. Honor and obey. That's where love for Jesus, trust in Him, worship of God shows up in your life with reality or with falseness. Right here. This is where the battle lies. So what are ways that you can cultivate honor for your mother and father. I recently heard of an individual in a classroom, and the teacher asked in that classroom who there was comfortable just sharing anything at all with their parents. Who was comfortable doing that? And they found that they were the only one with their hand raised. No kid at all was comfortable being open and free and sharing with their parents. So kids, a deeply significant way to honor your parents is to share your struggles with them. Be open with them, especially as you get older and find many of your peers increasingly isolating themselves from mom and dad in many areas of their lives. You will find that again and again. Your peers will be isolating themselves very intentionally from mom and dad. One way to honor, practically honor your mother and father is to be open and honest with them, especially when it begins to get hard. As you grow and you're becoming more and more independent. Independence does not look like, maturity does not look like cutting mom and dad out of your life. As you grow older, they will not anymore be the sole voice in your life. They will not be the only source of wisdom and guidance, but they ought to still be a central source of wisdom and guidance. Another practical way to honor. If you want to be deeply serious, as Jesus calls you to, deeply serious about obeying and honoring your parents, is to express thankfulness to them. Thankfulness to them. Each of you will have different areas where you are particularly served and helped by your parents, but if you want to actively pursue honoring and obeying your parents, express thankfulness to them. Third, honor your parents through joyful obedience. Remember, we said obedience is easy to understand. You do what they say and don't do what they tell you not to do. It's not hard to understand. It is hard to do. You really do need the help of the Holy Spirit. You really do need the knowledge of the forgiving power of Jesus Christ to actively obey your parents in the way that God intended to do. But if you want to pursue this in a way that honors Jesus Christ, you need to pursue joyful obedience, not just begrudging obedience. Raw obedience, merely doing with teeth gritted what mom and dad say, is not obeying the fullness of what God says is for you. As you want to follow Jesus in your real life, at home, honor your parents with joyful obedience. And this is, my friends, this is an area where you can pursue fellowship with God in a profound way. Believe me, if you set out to render joyful obedience to your parents through the easy things and the hard things, you will find your great need for the help of the Holy Spirit, but you will also find that He is faithful. If you genuinely pursue this prayerfully and seriously, whether you're 8 or 18, you will find His help faithful. Another way to honor your parents is to honor them in prayer. Honor them in prayer. If you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the ear of your heavenly Father. What might it look like in your life if you began simply but regularly to pray for your mom and dad? Remember, when you think about your parents, you know you're thinking about fallen, imperfect people. They need the power of the Holy Spirit. They need the help of Jesus Christ just as much as you. What would it look like how much honor would rise up in your life if you began to pray for them really and genuinely and regularly. One other area of application is in the reality that if you are in the Lord, if you profess faith in Jesus Christ, you, before God, need to be a help to your peers in following this command and not a hindrance to them. If you profess faith in Jesus Christ, you ought in your discipleship to be actively thinking about how you can help both your siblings and your friends to honor and obey mom and dad. This is a huge thing. What would it look like in your friendships if you began to actively pursue that? When you find out that so-and-so, your friend, says his parents have said, no, you know, that game, he's not supposed to play. What if you just actively were all in? You just jumped in there, good, let's find something else to do. We want to be careful to make sure that you can obey mom and dad and honor them. We don't want to put any stumbling blocks in your way. What could it look like? I'll tell you something, if you begin to think and talk this way in your peer groups, in your schools, in your classrooms, you will be weird. I was in high school. People didn't talk like that. People weren't actively trying to help each other honor and obey their parents. And I'm told things are just about the same now, maybe worse. Part of your discipleship as a follower of Jesus Christ is to be actively helping others who are following Jesus to do this very thing. Finally, just very quickly, two reasons. Two reasons to help you. Why do I need to pursue this? Sometimes we need to be reminded of simple things in our Christian obedience. And here Paul gives us a simple reminder. Obeying and honoring parents is simply right. You see how he said that there in verse 1? For this is right. Both in his book of the world and in his book of Scripture, he's told us this is right. Generally across cultures and societies across the world, we see that it is generally assumed that children should obey their parents and honor them. And he's told us specifically by his revealed will that that is indeed right. And the second way is to acknowledge the blessing of obedience. Kids, you need to be told of the blessing of obedience. Parents, you need to remind your kids of the blessing of obedience. You see how it says there that this is a commandment with a promise that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land. There's two errors that must be avoided. We already saw that the obedience of children cannot merit life for them. It doesn't earn them life. We saw that there was an obedient son, Jesus Christ. And your only hope, kids, your only hope is to put your trust and faith in him. Rest upon his perfect obedience and his death in your place. So your obedience to your mom and dad doesn't earn you life with God, and neither does it put you in his debt. You cannot put God in your debt. You can obey your parents truly and consistently, but that never puts God in your debt. He does not then owe you some kind of benefit, but he does promise blessings in obedience, that it would go well with you. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 4:8 that godliness is of value in every way. It holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. And that's what Paul's telling us here this morning. Godliness is of benefit in every way. It holds promise now and in the life to come. That's what we see here in this promise. It will go well with you, and you'll live long in the land. That's true proverbially, simply in the reality that if you listen and obey your mom and dad, sometimes it will literally save your life. You won't run off the edge of that precipice, or you won't run into that street because you obeyed, not after asking a bunch of questions. You need to recognize if you're going to obey according to the Scriptures, kids, whether you're 8 or 16, asking the question why has its place, but that place never comes before the obedience is rendered. You understand that? Mom says, would you do this? And you wonder why she's asking you to do it. You do it first. It's fine to come back later and say, hey, Mom, I was just wondering why you asked me to do that, or why you said I shouldn't do such and such. But it must always come after obedience. The promise that it will go well with you and that you would live long in the land is a promise that was originally given very specifically to the nation of Israel. But we find in Romans 4:13 that the promise of the land finds its fulfillment in the singular seed, Jesus Christ. And therefore, as one who is in the Lord, this promise is now for you. And ultimately, the promise that you will live long on the earth finds its fulfillment in the new heavens and the new earth. This is much bigger than simply you'll live to be 80 rather than 73. So let's go back to where we started. Remember those two words, honor and obey. Remember that you ought not to be feeling or thinking that you are faithfully following the Lord consistently unless you are deeply serious about honoring and obeying your mom and dad. So let's all pursue obedience to this passage in the power of the Holy Spirit for the honor of Jesus' name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word to each one of us. Thank you that you have given us specific calls to live out our faith in Jesus Christ in specific areas, Lord. And I pray for every child here that they would hear this call, that their trust would be in Jesus, and that in his strength they would seek to be deeply serious about obeying this word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.